from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
50-minute mark on the fans brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Peters. Even though I have vowed to not make too much of preseason football.
Vows are meant to be broken, and we knew you would.
No, I'm not starting with that.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean I'm not watching. That doesn't mean I am not so happy to hear Papiani back describing
the action.
Yeah, like when Dwan Edwards scored a touchdown.
First and goal for the Steelers now with Allen in the shotgun. Handoff up the middle, and it's going to be a touchdown for the Steelers. Edwards finishes what he started.
Look at that guy, Dwan Edwards, ladies and gentlemen. Could he make this team? Is he making a charge? Is he making an impression? I love Bob in these spots.
It's a very funny paradox. There is no lower stakes for your average fan part of the Steelers season compared to late first or second preseason game. Guys, as Pomp likes to call them, future bartenders of America. And yet, in his chair, that's got to be the hardest time to do this. It's when all the Scribinos and Scribinskis are out there, your fifth, sixth, and seventh string players, guys who take a picture on the sideline of so-and-so wearing a 60 jersey or whatever, because it's the last time you'll see him wearing that Steelers color. And Pomp's got to be all over these stories and these players.
It's the biggest thing Pop will do all year. With apologies to the nightly sports call with us or the showdowns or any sports cast.
No, it's a big deal.
The ratings for those preseason games are gigantic. Tons of people watch, even though the quality of football isn't any good.
Because it's football.
Yeah, and so Bob has to be on his game, and he was with this Connor Hayward touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
Tariq Black is in the game for the Steelers. He's a big guy. And this is Allen going to the outside. Has Connor Hayward, who lunges for the pylon, and he gets it. It's a touchdown for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hayward.
He's a big guy. I like that he's lunging. He's a big guy.
So
you had two takes, though. You were a tale of two takes when it came to Justin Fields.
I thought he was solid when I watched it live.
Uh-huh.
I also feel like he's a hard guy to analyze in August football because the things that make him great are not something that the Steelers are going to ask him to do in games that don't count. So the read option game, the design runs, maybe even some of the improvisational runs, they're telling him that it's not worth it to risk injury. So I have to at least factor that in whenever grading him in these situations.
Okay.
That it's just not going to be part of his repertoire in this type of game. However.
Yes.
However.
Mm-hmm.
On second thought and second watch, and then also talking to quarterbacks, people that played the position,
mm-hmm.
The quarterbacks say the fumbles are his fault. The quarterbacks say the center exchange things, that's not a Nate Herbig problem. That's a Justin Fields under center, got to be able to get that ball. And it can't be written off as, well, bad chemistry with new center, because apparently this is something that has followed him from Chicago. He had the same snafu there. He had the same issue there where these easy center quarterback exchanges with him
are not
can
so
sometime
easy.
Be a complete adventure.
Yeah, I think that has to be, it has to be the quarterback's purview. Also, you could tell watching the game live, I felt like, that they were on him. The snaps looked like they were there, and they just glanced off his hands. Herbig on the first one, Herbig's trying to snap the ball and get moving to his right very quickly, because that's the blocking assignment that he's got. Looked like it hit Fields pretty much square. I definitely would put, without even having talked to a quarterback, I thought that they should both be on him.
So, I think about that, and then the last drive he's in there for, now I am getting the splitting hair machine out there, and I am getting the magnifying glass.
But we're not actually taking long, you know, we're not drawing sweeping conclusions on this. This is just, you're fine-tooth combing
it. I'm just going over what he did.
Sure.
Okay?
Yes.
The play where Jefferson technically caught the ball, but Tomlin was in midseason form and didn't challenge it. That's not a good throw.
Correct.
It's behind the guy, and he's lucky, actually, that Jefferson still made the catch.
If the throw's where it should be, it's an automatic catch.
And Chris, even though he's not running, even though he's not in a situation, I think, where they want to have him scooting around and making plays with his legs, you're in Boswell field goal range for him.
Take a sack.
It's 3rd and 6, and he takes a terrible sack. Yep. He's hanging onto the ball too long.
How many good plays did you think he made? Like, I would objectively good play. I like could count two or three.
I like the first one to Najee on the screen because he got, there was pressure immediately, and he put the ball where he needed to.
The one to Pickens where he sidearmed it to him.
Yep.
And then I thought the one to Jefferson across the middle was a good throw.
Yeah, that he also hit
stood
Pickens
there
on another one where it was just right. Get the ball out
but
and
still,
throw it
that,
to him.
Those are like football 101,
but
couple of those.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
Here's how I will then rate the way he played. If we are, and it sounds like there's still some discussion of, are we comparing him to Russell Wilson for right now and trying to determine who starts against Atlanta? When I watch back that game, I don't think he did anything in that game. If I were Mike Tomlin and my first instinct was to go with Wilson and give him the pole position, I don't think in the game he changed my mind at all. He's doing that on the practice fields. He threw an absolute like BB to Calvin Austin where the ball was in the air for 50 yards and it just hit the guy right in the numbers. He's doing that in practice. The arm strength and arm talent is insane. And he is one of the great athletes. He won the home run derby there last night,
which
Chris.
Is an
That's
upset
always.
Wilson was a D1 baseball player, got drafted by the Rangers. And then who's the other guy?
John Reese Plumlee played college baseball.
Yeah, so they had two D1 baseball
Alex
players.
Alex Highsmith was a college baseball player. So he is just an insane athlete. We know all that. But a lot of the things that plagued him in Chicago seeped in Friday night. And I'm not giving up on Fields because of that athleticism. And clearly we've seen quarterbacks who were not great pocket players succeed in the NFL to some degree because of their run ability. But overall, Chris, I said it on Friday. We talked about previewing that game. I said, I feel like we're going to come out of this. It's going to be a very ho-hum Justin Fields performance, and my Nostradamus qualities came out in this.
In this specific case. Did you offer a Dodgers, by the way, just as a sidebar, Dodgers series prediction?
I did not.
Okay, probably for the best. I didn't think he was that impressive.
You want to put a grade on it for me?
A C minus.
Jeez.
Because I start from a position of like everything you just said there kind of makes me nervous because I know you're not going to fall into the picket trap again. By the way, did you see our guy Kenny was up to his old tricks?
Oh, the tricks are back.
No,
he's
no,
into
no.
His bag.
He was into his bag. That's why only 4 passes were even thrown longer than 10 yards. He's in his bag for sure. 14 of 22 for 89 yards. That sounds like a Kenny line. But you said you're not going to put any stock in the preseason, but I feel like you're doing the same thing as far as getting yourself a little bit pumped up. When you even tell these training camp tales of the throws he's capable of making, do it in the game. Like, show me that version of you in the game. And I understand he can only make do with what they call, and Smith's not going to, you know, show anything from his bag of tricks in the preseason. I just felt like it was...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is the classic Justin Fields experience that we were warned about. Two fumbles are bad plays. I know one of them technically went for like a 4.5-yard gain, Oakland Raiders style, but two of them are fumbles.
Holy roller play.
Yeah, they rolled it right up the field there on him. Two of them are fumbles.
Dom, do you even know what the holy roller play is? Intern Dom's in for Donnie.
Yes, I do.
What was the holy roller play?
I know the name of it.
Okay.
So you don't know anything about it.
Now attempt to explain what happened.
The immaculate reception is ball hits two, you know, one player first, and Franco catches it on the run, scores. Can you explain in those terms, holy roller?
So the holy roller play was basically...
I can't wait to hear you BS your way through this like a paper or a book report for something you didn't read.
No, it was a play where, like, the ball... There was some controversy over whether the ball was, like, in play or not, and it led to a lot of discussion about... Was this a legal move or not?
Webster's defines the holy roller as, it's a play where the Raiders very famously and very overtly and obviously fumbled the ball forward into the end zone on the last play of the game to win the game, and the NFL quickly outlawed that practice. One more Raiders question. Who was the receiving player, the receiver or pass catcher, I should say, on the other end, the catching end of the ghost to the post?
I don't know.
Think of famous ghosts and what their names are.
Famous ghosts?
Yes.
Casper?
Dave Casper.
There you go.
You just got one right. All right, anyway, I just feel like we got the full... I knew, by the way, from the first second we asked you about the holy roller, you had no
clue. By the way, Dom, later in the show, will be doing his best impression of the Australian breakdancer from
Gun.
The Olympics.
Yes.
Who got 0 points, and it was like a...
She was
of,
a vibe.
It was like the end of Billy Madison, where we are all now more stupid having watched... You do this, but it was also very entertaining.
Not quite as entertaining as the French broadcast of Curry hitting all those threes, and they kept calling him the devil named Curry, which was very, very, very funny.
By the way, Pittsburgh did a great rating for the men's gold medal game. How about that?
I mean, I guess they don't
this
like
town
the NBA,
that hates
but they
basketball.
Love patriotism.
Oh.
They hate the French, too. They must really hate the French.
It was more pro-America
than pro-basketball. Did you see Jokic, by the way? Bronze medal winner, and they're hamming it up on the bus, and then when he wins the NBA title, it's the job is done and we can go home. Anyway, just to finish my Fields thought, I do want this out there. I thought we got the Justin Fields experience we'd been told to expect. Two fumbles are very negative plays, and I think the coaching staff rightly viewed them as such. I thought he was okay in the pocket. Like, I like the throw to Jefferson. I like the arm angles. We know the arm is there, but you already highlighted it. One throw that's a pretty basic NFL throw, I would say, for a good quarterback. he puts in the wrong spot, results in a no catch, even though it should have been challenged. If you throw that ball where it's supposed to be, there's no argument there. It's caught, presumably, and you go about your business. The whole thing that was supposed to happen for him, or that needs to happen, I think make him like truly a steal for the Steelers, where it becomes, oh my God, what a heist. He has to get, not like, he doesn't have to become great from the pocket. He has to become good from the pocket.
See, I think it's just design an offense that caters to his strengths.
Well, Smith does that because who's closer to Ryan Tannehill circa 2019? Smith or Fields? Wilson or Fields?
Fields.
It's Fields, athletically. What did they get Tannehill doing? Throwing a bunch of very favorable play action shots and getting out on the move and then throwing on the run. So I think that's there. But if he just can be like better than average from standing in, drop back, take your five-step drop, scan the defense and make a decisive throw, he will take over this job quickly. But he now, I don't think, can do that.
But I'm saying the offense is built on Fields' running ability. That's how I think it works. And I don't think it might not last long because he's in his 20s, and also teams will probably, to some extent, figure it out like the Steelers have with Lamar Jackson. But I think that's the best chance he has to be good here. I don't really think, with very rare exception, do guys get better at processing and reading defenses and going through their reads and getting the ball out on time and accurately and things like that.
Well, I think there's a caveat there. If they do get better, it's just that they started off pretty good at it and get even better. Brady got even better at doing it. Mahomes got even better at doing it, and so on. If it's something that's seen as a legitimate deficiency, there are, how many examples are there of a guy actually like really improving?
Josh Allen's accuracy is one that gets brought up all the time.
Okay, but wasn't his accuracy part and parcel with throwing motion getting changed? Like Jalen Hurts, I thought in year two, clearly as a starter, became much better at everything. You could always cite Rich Gannon from way back in the day.
Yes.
Well, I'm just saying, a guy who was disappointing and then randomly got it all together. But yeah, usually you are what you are by this point.
I want to know what our listeners' first impression of Justin Fields is. I'm genuinely curious. I mean, we have 8 phone lines here. We have intern Dom at the controls here and not Donnie. I have not heard what fans think of Fields from Friday night. I've heard analysts. I've heard former coaches. I've heard former quarterbacks. I've heard hosts on our station. I don't think I've heard a phone call on it. Now, when you have Poppin with Zeiss and Joe, you know, they're really... It's a three-way volley session. I mean, they're really going back and forth, and it's good. But I don't even know if I heard people this morning with the appetite to call in on Field. So I'd actually love to hear what people thought of his first game. 412-928-9370. The first time I watched it, I thought he was solid. I watched it back this morning, and I'm actually thinking he had a bad game. I'd love to know what you thought. 412-928-9370. Text us on the Edgar Slatter & Associates fan text line. Your first impression of Justin Fields, his first game action with the Steelers.
He had some early completions, but at the end of the day, he kind of fell back to how he was playing in Chicago. I think Russell Wilson's a starter.
He's a starter in your mind and Tom's mind right now.
No doubt. Russell Wilson's a starter. And now, Justin Fields, will he have a role? I think he might have a role. Maybe a slash role when the season starts. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's Russell Wilson's job to lose when the season starts.
Now, I don't say this to denigrate Mr. Hello, you play to win the game, Herm Edwards. But it's not like that clip caused me to do a 180 on Fields' Steelers debut. It's just you watch a game live, and then if you are in our profession, you feel almost obligated. Or if you're me, you actually just want to go back and watch a game. Because you think it's fun?
Well, that's real.
Even though it's a preseason game?
I was going to say, it is fun to watch a game in the regular season. Real sick freak watch list behavior to watch a preseason game for fun the second time.
But then I watch that game back and I'm like, I said solid at first. But here's what I caught myself doing. You ready for this?
Yep.
Here's what I caught myself doing. I did this too much with Kenny. You see something and you want to make excuses for it. And you want to say, well, it's not good, but there are reasons for why it's not good, and you're like lying to yourself because you want confirmation bias. You want your original take or thought on the guy to be right. And I'm pledging to you, I don't want to do that anymore. I've turned over a new leaf, so I'm not. Exactly.
Stop doing it.
I'm exactly right. So instead of coming in here and saying, well, it was actually Nate Herbig's fault, no one got open on the sack that took him out of field goal range, he doesn't really want to run the ball yet because it's just a preseason game, that stuff, I'm not going to do any of that. If he's legitimately competing for a quarterback job, he's got to make more plays than he did Friday night. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean he's going to suck. But it's just a very pedestrian-looking debut for a new Steelers quarterback.
Without the threat of him taking off and running for 40 yards, we've still yet to see him prove he could stand there and beat a team. And, you know, I know you said,
unless his first read gets open.
Yeah, if the first read gets open and it's a deep ball.
And he can uncork it.
We know he can throw a beautiful deep ball. But, like, I go back to this, to the thing about where he's got to eventually become above average, I think, from the pocket to fully harness his gifts. Name me a quarterback that has won big. I mean big. The biggest wins you can get without being pretty good from the pocket. Hurts was very good that year that they almost got it 2 years ago. Mahomes is very good from the pocket. He's the best at virtually everything. So tell me a guy where the offense was designed around he's going to move around a lot as a rule, not as an option, and it worked to a massive effect.
How about 2015 Cam Newton? Now, he threw 35 touchdown passes.
Still, he was in the pocket, man. He was cooking people. I know he could run.
But it
run.
Was because he was such a threat as a runner that it
but
opened
frankly,
those things up
he
for
wasn't,
him. He still completed less than 60% of his throws, Chris.
He still wasn't the threat that Fields is because he wasn't as fast. Cam Newton,
he was more of a bulldozer running back
fun
than
fact,
he was a
slower
Ferrari.
40 time than Andrew Luck.
Yeah, he was more Mack truck than he was
sure, and he took a ton
car.
Of hits. Okay, but he still 35 touchdowns is what, 19 clear of Fields' best year, 18 clear?
Yeah.
And Cam Newton also set rookie passing records, I want to say. I think he had the rookie pass yardage record for
he
a
did.
While.
He threw for over 4,000 yards.
Okay, so
year.
I don't think that's even apples to apples because he was
I'm
making
I'm eating an apple right now. What are the
with
was it because
butter.
You're looking at the apple over here that you wanted to make that analogy?
No, is it choosy mom's choose Jif there for you?
That is what I'm eating.
Apple and peanut butter, very healthy. I guess my point is for, and I, you know who actually you could say is the closest guy who didn't drop back and cook people and still made it work? Wilson. But he had that all-time defense behind him. But he as a rookie is probably the closest thing that I can think of where a guy won huge while not doing it the traditional way.
Stable during football season is Donnie Football's Game Balls. Donnie is on assignment. He'll be hosting at Dino's tonight at 6. He also spoke to his high school football alma mater today after their practice to
Did he really?
Motivate them. Yes. And so we will do our own version of PM Team Game Balls without him in about 10 minutes from preseason game number one. But yeah, he went and gave them
like a pep
talk. Only live once, make the most of this. You're going to remember the guys next to you for the rest of your lives. You're going to be talking about these moments for the rest of your lives. Make them count.
Don't you think speech. That he was the kind of guy in high school, though, who would have let that go in one ear and out the other? He just said, like, hey, Dad.
I actually don't.
You think he would have lived it up?
I do. I think he was the type of guy that, like,
very earnest about that sort of thing.
Put every fiber of his being into high school football.
Now, is one of the clues that makes you feel that way about him the fact that he loves Creed so much? They're a very earnest, honest band.
We have Rich here on Justin Fields' Steelers debut. Hello, Rich.
Hey, Pody, thanks for taking my call.
You bet, Rich.
I'm going to make three observations about three different people in Friday night's game.
Okay.
And I'm going to hang up and listen to your response.
Well, what if we want to ask you more about what you say, Rich?
All right, let's hear it, Rich. What do you got?
All right, number one, for someone who has taken the majority of the first offense reps, Justin Fields has shown me nothing. It seems to me that he has picked up where he left off in Chicago. That boy needs work. And my second observation.
You think the job's Wilson's, even with the calf injury, he's the starting
definitely.
Quarterback. Okay. Thank you, Rich. Got a lot of improving to do. Here's Silas next. Hello, Silas. Silas, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey,
can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, I'm Fields isn't a starter, but I just want to say something else. I think it's an absolute joke how you guys just tried to get people to call up and slander Bednar in that opening segment.
What do you mean?
Is that not like Well, literally, just goading people into calling.
No, it's
up
not. It's saying not like take personal shots.
No,
it's,
come on.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
So wait, do you have proof of us saying, like, hey, call us up at 412-928-9370 and crap all over David Bednar the person?
Is that not it? Hey, everybody.
No, what happened was I said I think Bednar deserves a ton of blame right now and is a major cause of their slide into near irrelevance, and Pony disagreed with me.
Pony's over here saying no one's going to call in and slander Bednar. No one will call in and slander
Bednar. Because I think everyone always has Bednar's back.
Call in and slander Bednar.
No, it's...
You're just trying to get negative on Bednar. There's a million other problems with the team. He's been an all-star.
He's blown his last. He's basically blown three outings he should have won or saved.
Sure, he's pitching bad at an inopportune time, but what pro has?
Wouldn't you say he's pitched bad most of the year? His ERA is near six.
I mean, April. Take out April.
You don't take out a month.
You don't just take out a month.
All right. Well, still, is he going to pitch at that?
I mean, Silas.
Level
if you
every
no, but
game?
Silas, sure, if you just want to look, if you just want to call in and say that it's wrong of us to be critical of a guy who's a great story from here.
No, you can be critical, but you're just trying to get people to call up and be negative.
No,
you're
actually,
daring people to call in
and
say something bad about Bednar. That's exactly what you did.
But okay, so what's your definition of saying something bad? Like saying he's not pitching well right now, or it's his fault? Did anybody cross the line?
He's going to call up and blame Bednar.
What's that?
What you guys are doing?
Okay, thank you, Silas.
That was.
You want to be our show ombudsman now? By all means.
I mean, I think you were wondering if people would do it because you genuine. I know
there's
you.
There's a curiosity factor there.
I think you thought people didn't have an appetite to criticize the guy.
Exactly.
And I think
I wasn't saying.
But I know people here are willing to criticize their own, so I knew two of four people that we took there were going to back me on that. But yes, we called in asking people to slander him, clearly. That's called hearing what you want to hear.
And we got sidetracked out of Justin Fields now because of it. Follow us on Twitter, brought
more
to you by South
Silas,
Hills,
Paul or
Kia.
Red.
Silas Red went to Penn State and transferred to USC, so I'll say him. Although Paul Silas played for what, the Celtics?
How could you go? Yeah, you can't go Silas Red. You got to go Paul Silas.
How about Cy Robertson?
Was his first name Silas or Cy?
Well, Silas from Duck Dynasty.
The guy that was Terry Bradshaw's roommate at
That was Phil.
Oh, how could I get my Duck Dynasty characters mixed up?
You guys were daring people to call in and slander Bednar. I honestly can't get over that.
I'm not surprised somebody called in and said, well, I am surprised.
Back for another season. It's Donnie's Balls. Donnie Football's Game Balls. Donnie is off today. So, Malzy and I will pinch hit.
Isn't this open for sponsorship, too?
It is, as a matter of fact. Let me actually check notes on that. Yes. Speaking of sponsorship, your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC. Get your heart screened today. All right, Malzy. Your first game ball. We'll go back and forth here. Getting out game balls from the Steelers 20-12 loss to Houston. If you can make them Steelers guys, I don't know if I really want
Texans guys,
third stringers.
No, I only had Steelers on the brain this time. Montrevious Adams, I thought showed out some pressures. I think he got in there for a sack. He batted down a pass. He looked active. They need other players on that defensive line other than Keanu Benton, other than Cam Hayward when he's actually out there to step up and be good players in that rotation. I thought it was a very nice game for big Montrevious Adams. Active. I mean, an early active in this game when, like, you could reasonably draw and infer some real conclusions about his ability to play.
He feels like a guy that they've tried to replace for years.
Like, he's the Max Starks of the defensive line. They've been trying to get him out of there forever, and he just keeps coming back.
But they can't find someone who does that job better than him. I would like to think that it's going to be Benton that permanently puts him on the bench, but Benton suffered an eye injury very early in this game. Like, what are you thinking happened there? Just like a finger
like
went right into his eye?
Had to be like an Alan Ray or Three Stooges eye poke. I don't know. Montrevious Adams is, he's an interior guy. I get it. But like, I thought he was good yesterday.
Or Friday.
You know what I meant. I'm just laughing. One of the people, I got distracted there halfway through. I posted the picture of your of Noah Hyles texting us about your tweet that doomed the Pirates to a losing streak. Okay. And the most recent person to favorite its name is Tommy Butts. Tommy Butts. Not only is Tommy Butts a real person, he is a Montour High School student who's going to play college baseball. Good job by Tommy Butts.
My first game ball here will be Peyton Wilson then. I thought he, right from the very beginning, with the tackle for loss, got into the backfield against the Texan starters, although Tunsil and some of their big gun offensive linemen weren't out there.
Mm-hmm.
He was around the ball everywhere, whether that's running somebody down or in coverage over the middle. I actually thought his play dipped off in the second half a little bit, like as the players around him got worse. And he was out there for, let me see how many snaps he played. Had to be one of the highest among defensive players. He played, yes, 71% of the snaps, second most on the team, 44 snaps. I thought the first 25 were excellent. I thought maybe the next 15 were not as good.
Mm-hmm.
But he flashed the skills that you're thinking will make him an every down linebacker in the NFL someday.
He moves very fast.
And he's bigger than Devin Bush, which is just, I know he had a knee problem, but when you think about the gap between the two is late third round and 10th overall pick and having to trade up for a guy, if you put those two out on a field and just observe them.
No one would say Devin Bush is better.
I agreed.
No one would. Also, Devin Bush went to Michigan and he went to NC State or whatever, and maybe that counts for a little bit. Not trying to do NC State slander, but I think that the fact that he tailed off in your mind after the first 25 plays means that what they initially have planned for him, which is dime linebacker, sub-package guy who doesn't have to play a ton of snaps, is probably for the best. At least early on in the season. It could always be one of those things where he starts to assume more of a role.
PM team game ball number 3 for Steelers-Texans.
I had a bunch of them that I thought about handing out here. You know who I was impressed by just because he moved well and it looked like he was holding his blocks well and getting out there? I thought Frazier looked good when he was out there. You know what I did? I did a thing that, in honor of Donnie, I didn't even think of it when I was doing it. But there were snaps on my second watch through where I didn't watch the play at all. I would like hone in on Frazier one play. I'd hone in on Jones. I was trying to get a nice representative sample. I thought Frazier moved well, and most importantly, Pony, unlike, say, Kendrick Green, did not look physically overmatched at any point. We had heard very early on that he was losing some of these strength-on-strength battles with, like, the Faiokos of the world.
Yep.
Now he's on IR for the year. But I thought he looked good strength-wise, and he absolutely can move. He's going to be their day one starter, because Nate Herbig did not do himself any favors, would you agree? Even if the fumbles are Fields' fault, you're still the center of record for some of that stuff. And so I don't think that's going to help him. I thought Frazier looked the part. I was impressed by him. And it just reminded me of, not to this extent, because Pouncey was truly great at this, he got out there on the move and looked like an athlete in space.
And aside from game balls, Dulac said today that even though Fautanu has a knee injury, the expectation is that he will be the Steelers' week one right tackle, which means they're going to give him that job without playing in the next two preseason games, only one preseason game under his belt, and hey, you're our starter.
Jerry's story makes it very clear they love him.
Okay.
They think he's the second best O-lineman after Seumalo and Jerry's story.
Did you consider giving Fautanu a game ball?
I actually thought he played poorly.
I agree. That's what I don't get, and I understand.
You see my little chart here? It's got, can you see this far away? Arrows up or arrows down? Fautanu. Where does that arrow point? Down.
It's down. So the first sack, I don't think either sack was really like his.
He got beat by a guy going around him quicker than I think he thought he could. He thought he could push the guy way past Fields, and he couldn't.
And Hunter's a stud, and that's why Houston gave him all that money.
Yes.
But if he's a week one starter, he's going to have those matchups, and he's going to be on an island against dudes like that. Maybe not Atlanta, because they're the worst team in the NFL at sacking the quarterback and have been for years. But you get it. I mean, their schedule's loaded. It's a complete 180 on philosophies when last year you asked Jones to take the babiest steps. He had to take little baby steps before he was allowed to play, and Fautanu without, now he's not going to play another preseason game.
He's played one half of pro football.
And he played a lot more college football than Jones. I get that. But it's just, it's a departure from what their strategy was last year with offensive line play and forcing the guy to earn it before just putting him out there.
Don't you think, though, it just has to be 100% connected to age? I mean, he's 23 years old, man. He's actually pushing 20. He'll be 24 not even halfway through the season. I have to believe that when you compare that to Jones, who right this second is 200-some days younger, that's the difference here.
But the other thing about what Jerry wrote was he still made it sound like or seem like, okay, Fautano's the right tackle. Dan Moore and Broderick Jones are battling for left tackle. And if Moore wins that job, then your first-round pick is back on the bench to start the season?
I have to be transparent here. I don't know if Jerry has a good relationship with Moore or not. I don't know if Jerry maybe also just wants to keep Moore's perceived value very high because he's talked to – or he's – let me put it this way. He's talked to people in the front office who have that interest, keeping Dan Moore's value very high. He wrote in the story, he implied that it's not an open and shut case for Jones at left tackle. But he also made it very clear with how he wrote it that it should be pretty obvious that it's Jones' job, that the Steelers have very little intention of taking him back off the field. What the thing I don't like that they're doing to Jones in all this, not so much as far as declaring whether he's the starter or not, I think they're taking for granted the fact that they feel he can just jump over to left tackle immediately and slot in. I want him to still get reps over there while Fautanu's hurt.
Same.
I think they're doing the guy a little bit of a disservice because I actually think they feel he's very versatile.
Steelers weekend review coming up, plus Mark Caballi let go by The Athletic. A stunning breaking news story today. Our Steelers insider, shown the door by The Athletic. He will join us at 4:15 to talk about things.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.